kind and wondrous. All these are faces of love. In a moment, young Kate Wakefield, venturing into today's world of confusing freedoms, brought to you by Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. How do you get the most out of an antiperspirant? The answer may be using Ban Roll-On. Tests have shown that Ban Roll-On helps stop wetness better than most leading sprays, and Ban Roll-On costs about the same, yet lasts longer than most 5 or 6 ounce sprays, averaging 2 seconds of spray per application each side each day. The longest lasting of the leading antiperspirant sprays gives you 37 days of protection. On the average, Ban Roll-On will give you 51 days. That's 38% longer. Ban Roll-On, why settle for less?
I sweep my floor and I still hear sugar underfoot. I hate that straw broom.
That's the kind of dirt straw brooms miss. But an Oceder angler broom would get it. Angler bristles are cut on an angle to keep more tips on the floor, and the tips are closer together. Oceder angler gets the dirt other brooms miss.
Oceder makes your life easier.
What do you hear from your floor?
Not a sound. Oceder makes your life easier.
Yes, Gloria. You can't reach Mrs. Wakefield? Well, if she left the office at 5, she ought to be home by now. Try the studio club again. Oh, not there, huh? Right. No, go on home. You're overtime already. No. I'll stay around. Night, honey.
Kate, why do you do this to me?
Still here, Tony?
Not for very long, Hugh.
I want to talk to you.
Well, sit down. Unless you like your own territory better.
Oh, this will do. Pretty fine office, Tony.
My home away from home.
I hope it continues to be.
So do I. Like the neighborhood. Have a drink, Chief?
I didn't know you indulged during business hours.
Well, I thought my business hours were over.
Not quite. But I'll have a scotch, Rox.
Good. I'll join you. Sorry you weren't here when I got back from Paris. Had some good news. Ah, here you are.
Thank you.
We're doing all right with our Greek friends, Hugh.
Well, let's drink to that.
Right.
And to your return to Paris tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
I sent you over there for 2 weeks. I didn't tell you to come back in 4 days.
Look, I went as far as I could. They want a little time to work out the next steps. They've got their problems, too. I'll go back in another few weeks.
Tomorrow, Tony.
What the hell is this? They love me. I'm getting the job done.
I want you over there.
But it's crazy. Why would I just sit around Paris for 2 weeks?
I'm still running this company, Tony.
Sure. But I'm not on lead strings. I need a reason.
I hoped it wouldn't be necessary, but I'll give you a reason. It's this girl you've been running around with.
Kate?
Yes, Mrs. Wakefield. I think you ought to see Les.
Now, wait a minute, Hugh. That's my private life.
Not one that can hurt this company.
Come on, Hugh. I won't sit still for that.
Her husband was part of a drug ring, wasn't he?
I don't know what he was.
He was in it, wasn't he? Cocaine smuggling down in the Caribbean.
That was 5 years ago. He's dead, Hugh.
And so his wife, this Kate, you're
seeing. She had nothing to do with it.
You believe that?
Certainly I believe it.
Read this clipping from yesterday's paper.
Federal narcotic agents boarding a small yacht owned by Robert D. Trebor of Miami found 2 plastic sacks containing 5 kilos of cocaine. Trebor and his wife, Nell, were released on $50,000 bail. What's this got to do with Kate?
Read on.
Mrs. Trebor hysterically denied she knew of the presence of the drugs on board. So what, you?
Let me read you the end of the article. Cocaine smuggling from South America has increased over 700% in the last 5 years. American users spent $3 billion for cocaine last year. It's big business now, Tony, and this girl you've taken up with is in it, up to the ears.
That could be slander.
Call it anything you want. I can't have it touch you or this corporation.
She knew nothing about it, Hugh.
That's what the woman they arrested yesterday said. Kate sailed with her husband down there, didn't she?
She said so.
Tony, get rid of her.
Hugh, don't make this a showdown.
I'm on my way home. Think it over, Tony, while you're in Paris.
I'm not giving Kate up.
I said think it over. No man is indispensable, Tony. Not even you.
Hello, Studio Club. Has Mrs. Kate Wakefield come in yet? Leave my name in her box, will you please? Tony Cushing. Cushing. Yes, I know it's already there. Leave it again, will you? Ask her to call me at my office. I'll be here waiting.
Hi, I'm trimming my little girl's hair. Mine was the same beautiful chestnut color once, before the grays started sneaking in. But I discovered Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It covered my grays without changing my natural color. And it has no peroxide. Loving Care made my hair shinier and softer, too. Our hair looks almost alike now. Except mine has no bubble gum in it.
Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It's good for your hair.
Tony, I haven't had this in years.
Mom, you're doing fine.
Oh, poor kid.
5 minutes, Claude.
Let's sit down. We're meeting your father for dinner. How do I look?
You always look pretty.
Thanks, sweetheart.
Especially your hair. Mom, the class is starting.
Oh. Even when you can't hold up any longer, your hair can with Finalnet. Finalnet is not an aerosol. There's no wasteful propellant. It's concentrated to hold your hair all day. Finalnet holds up longer than you do.
You having pizza, miss?
Oh, not right now, thank you. I'm waiting for someone.
Ah, well, don't stand by the door. Sit in the booth over there.
Yes, I might as well. I was supposed to meet someone here at 5:30.
I seen you here before, no?
Once or twice.
I know. You came with Mr. Wolf. Oh, very nice man. Very fine-looking fellow. What?
Oh, I don't know about that.
Let me tell you, you are a lucky man. He's a poor man now. You know, he told us he was in prison. Who hasn't been in prison these days, huh? My brother just got out after 8 months. Some kid at the gas station. Oh, but this Mr. Wolf, oh, he's smart. He's going to be a very rich man again someday. Maybe you like a cup of coffee?
Oh, no, thank you.
When are you supposed to meet him?
It was supposed to be 5:30.
Well, he's never late. You know, Mr. Wolf, he always says, Rosa, you be on time. Good business. You pay a man a politeness when you are on time. You get paid back.
Well, I can't wait much longer.
No, wait. I'll ask around the customers. They know him.
No, please don't.
Dust, as you say.
Does he live near here?
You don't know?
No.
You know, I thought you were his girl.
No, we, well, I have a business acquaintance.
Business, huh? All the young girls they talk about today is having a business. You find me a business that is as good as a real man.
Depends on the man, doesn't it?
Maybe yes, maybe no. Maybe you're a smart girl. Maybe I tell my Mario I should be liberated a little, huh? His mother should have been liberated. And maybe if I was a smart girl like you, I wouldn't get married either. Throw the bomb out.
What's that?
Subito, tesoro.
Kate, you're here.
Hello, Stephen.
I apologize for being late.
That's all right. I didn't mind waiting.
That's very gracious. I ran into a little trouble. One of my creditors. Why don't we take that booth over there?
All right. Well, Stephen, what did you want to see me about this time? Your note said it was urgent.
You, read that clipping I sent you?
About the boat in which they found the cocaine, yes. That might have been Tom and me, I suppose.
Nobody's going to believe that woman didn't know the drugs were aboard.
If she's innocent, they'll believe her.
Oh, Kate, you're so naive, it's a pity, because I could save you so much distress. I certainly don't want to involve you in Tom's troubles.
Yet that's exactly what you've been trying to do. You even sent me that dreadful tape of Tom's voice. And, Stephen, I discovered it had been cut and edited.
Well, I don't deny it.
Why did you edit it?
Because there were certain details Tom revealed about his activities. The amount of drugs he had hidden away. and their value.
So you tried to frighten me.
I had to make you realize I was serious. What Tom actually said was that you knew where certain charts were and what they meant. They showed the routes he sailed.
Suppose I could find those charts, Stephen.
Kate, I've told you. All I want to know is where the cocaine is hidden. When I find it, you'll never see me again. And I promise that neither your name nor Tom's will ever appear in connection with it.
That might be worth thinking about.
Kate, I have no desire to harm you. If you're beginning to see the sense of what I'm saying.
Stephen, Tom sailed all the islands down there. He has dozens of charts. Where would I even begin?
You saw that letter he left me. He spoke of his business in Jamaica.
But we were there often. I don't know, maybe I could remember some of the places.
Now you're being smart, Kate.
Could there be any place else?
Well, you know better than I. Go over the charts you have. See what comes back to you.
I'll need a little time.
Kate, listen, there's a tremendous market in cocaine now. Bigger than anything Tom ever knew. What he concealed might bring a fortune. I'd give you a fair share.
I don't want that, Stephen. I don't want to know anything about it.
You know, Kate, you're only doing what Tom promised me. If you'd taken this step months ago, you'd have saved yourself a lot of trouble. When will I hear from you?
I'm going to Bellhaven shortly. I'll let you know.
You're being a very sensible girl, Kate, for your own sake and for Tony's.
Tony mustn't know a thing about this.
I give you my word. When I have the raw cocaine in my hands that Tom hid somewhere, I promise you, you'll never hear from me again. You and Tom will never be linked with it.
That's all I could ask for, isn't it?
Faces of Love has been brought to you by Final Net Non-Aerosol Hair Mist, a sensible alternative to aerosol hairspray. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse. Studio presents the radio dramatization of William Makepeace Thackeray's classic novel, Vanity Fair, the story of the clever and charming adventuress, Becky Sharp. In a moment, our author, Mr. Thackeray. The Author's Studio is brought to you by Daytrill, the new non-aspirin pain reliever from Bristol-Myers.
I'm a homemaker, and I work part-time, too, so I get my share of headaches. But I don't take aspirin. It can irritate my stomach. So I've used Tylenol. It's easier on my stomach. Then I learned about Daytrill. I compared labels and couldn't find any difference. Daytrill has the same pain reliever, no aspirin. Daytrill's just as effective as Tylenol. So now I compare prices and buy the one that costs less. Why spend more?
Daytrill, from Bristol-Myers. Ask your doctor about it.
Say, did you know that a 1.5-ounce bottle of Ban Roll-On antiperspirant costs about the same, yet lasts longer than most 5 or 6-ounce sprays? Listen to this. Spray for application each side each day. The longest-lasting of the leading antiperspirant sprays will give you 37 days of protection. On the average, Ban Roll-On will give you 51 days. That's 38% longer. And tests have shown that Ban Roll-On will help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Ban Roll-On, so economical, yet so effective.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am your friend and author of Vanity Fair. Here we are. But where are we going? I confess myself filled with apprehension. A matter has emerged I'd not counted on. All seemed in order. I quite approved of the way Becky and Rawdon made their plans with utmost care and caution. What? I didn't tell you details of their plans. I must have. No? Dermy, I grow absent-minded. Or is careless the better word? Well, do not fret. The oversight will be corrected. An author can go backward, forward, or stand still. So let us then betake ourselves backward. Herewith, Becky and Rawdon charting their way.
Tomorrow, I will tell Miss Crawley you are coming to tea at 4.
Right, 4.
Then I will say my love is coming to tea at 4:30.
And when no one comes at 4:30?
It is then, my darling, we tell her my love is you. We need that half hour before to put her in good spirits.
Look here, Becky. What best puts Auntie in good spirits is spirits.
What?
Gin, whiskey, spirits, not tea.
Oh, you are clever, but not strong drink, dearest. She's too quickly taken drunk.
Right. Sherry?
Sherry.
What if she won't have it? Wants her tea and crumpets.
She'll have sherry. Welcome it. Dr. Swinnerton's kept her from it very long. We've only to remind her it's a festive occasion, and I, as her nurse, will allow her 2 glasses of sherry. More than 2 and she can be fuddled. We don't want that.
Heaven forfend. 2 sherries and she'll be in the best of humors. That's what's wanted.
And will be the most felicitous moment to tell her we love, we are married, and beg her blessings upon her children. I'll give you a signal when it exactly is time for you to break the news.
Egad, my angel, not me, you. My tongue gets all tangled, but you've a way with words.
All right, I shall begin, but you must join in all I say.
Look here, could we rehearse? I feel nervous already. The first half hour, what do we talk about?
Her.
Her?
How fond we are of her, how I could never leave her, how no one has ever had such an auntie as she is to you, such things, and more.
Auntie, no nephew has had such an auntie as you.
Miss Crawley, no one has had such a benefactress as you.
Aunt Matilda, you are the star in my crown.
Oh, very pretty, don't fail to say it. Miss Crawley, how kind and generous you've been to this poor friendless orphan. I will spend my life proving my love and gratitude.
I say, Beck, isn't that a bit much?
Oh, but your door's exaggerations. Does anyone indulge in them more than she? Oh, one thing I mustn't forget. Miss Crawley, even when I marry, I'll not leave you.
Ah, and I remind her I may soon go to war.
Oh, yes, she couldn't be cruel to you, to us, knowing that you might... Oh, I can't bring myself to say it.
Shot, killed, dead.
My love, don't say that. Will you be there? You see what it does to me? Think what it will do to her.
Look here, Auntie, best face it. War just across the channel. Likely your nephew be sent soon. I may be... maybe shot, killed, dead.
Oh, she'd not to disown a noble, brave soldier.
A noble, brave, dying soldier. Now then, what will you say when you tell all? Rehearse that a bit.
Oh, I won't tell all at once. Yes, I'm certain. It's best first to say I am married. Second, to whom?
'Tis backwards.
Backwards, but best. Now, at 4:30, she will ask where my young man is. Well, say that. Be your auntie.
Where is your young man, Rebecca? Hate tardiness.
He is nearer than you think, Miss Crawley. But before you know how near, I must tell you what I hadn't the courage to confess before. I could not be wife to Sir Pitt, for already I am a wife.
She's my wife, Auntie.
Darling, not like that. Not so quick.
Oh, I see.
We know she may be angry I've married without telling her. We've to placate her first.
How? Of a sudden, don't like this. Placate how?
Well, I don't know.
Don't know?
Well, when the time comes, I will. All my life I've known what to say and do and be when the bad times come. So many bad times I've had to know, and will tomorrow.
What I know is, when you say you're Mrs. Rawdon, Aunt Matilda, first off, will fret and fume that she wanted me to marry into the aristocracy.
Oh, that part's easy. I hope all her laments is easy. I remind her, my mother was a French countess.
She wasn't, my darling.
Well, Miss Crawley doesn't know that, and won't. How is she to find out?
British aristocracy, she wanted.
All the same, she loves all things French. Look to how she reads only French novels, adores French food, remembers Pierre, whom she once loved. Oh, don't fear. I'll persuade her to be proud to have a niece, French. And now I'm tired of rehearsing tomorrow. Let us rehearse being Mr. and Mrs. Crawley today.
There, you see, dear listener, all seemed in order. Stage set, actors rehearsed. Then, what I did not count on, had no inkling of it. Wait, must pause just here. Stay where you are. I shall reveal my unhappy finding shortly. Mrs. Bute Crawley almost never comes up to London. Shops in Mudbury, buys her yards of dimity and linsey-woolsey and whatever women wear.
Let it be said, she'd not cheat a shopkeeper out of a button or a butcher out of a mutton chop. Honesty and good conscience are attributes of the wife of a clergyman of the Church of England. And so, unfortunately, it's curiosity. That has brought Mrs. Bute to London. Took the night stagecoach. This morning presented herself at the house in Park Lane. It's a bleeding shame. Her sister-in-law is in high good humor, or she might have turned the visitor away. Now, in Miss Crawley's sitting room by a crackling fire, they're having a comfortable cup of hot chocolate prepared, as what irony, by Becky Sharp.
My dear Matilda, I'm greatly relieved to find you in such good health.
All thanks to Rebecca, Martha.
Rebecca? Yes. Miss Sharp looks very well herself.
Love.
Beg pardon?
Love has brought roses to her cheeks, joy to her heart.
Oh? And who is it she loves?
I've not met him. I shall this very afternoon. I'm a bit cross with Becky for not bringing him round before. I do dislike secrets.
You may chide me, Matilda, but I had a notion at Queen's Crawley that she'd set her cap for Rotherham.
What a ninny you are, Mrs. Bute. Quite the opposite, I assure you.
It seems I'm wrong about a great many things regarding Miss Sharp.
Do tell me how else you are wrong. I adore setting persons right.
Oh, Sir Pitt set me right. It's of no importance now.
Pitt, you should take back a delicious morsel of gossip to Bute and the neighbors. Wait till you hear what my fool of a brother has done. Proposed, if you please, to Rebecca Sharp.
Gracious heavens, no! I cannot credit my ears.
Why surprise, Martha? The little bantam dotes upon her. And don't fret yourself. Becky refused.
Oh, I am even more surprised at that intelligence. What a scandal to have the daughter of a fallen woman in the family.
Daughter of what?
But you know her female parent was a dancing girl, Matilda.
I know no such thing.
Pitt said you knew and didn't care.
Do you know it? Is it true?
I have it from the lips of Miss Pinkerton, and who would better know the truth?
But I thought it was...
Thought her mother was a French countess?
Yes.
And her father a distinguished artist?
Yes.
Then pray let me disabuse your mind. Her mother was a cheap dancer on the stage. Her father a dissolute drunkard and pauper who painted worthless pictures to pay for his gin. Matilda, are you falling in a faint?
Becky, Becky, what a sly little fibster you are.
You don't care.
Oh, why should I? Becky is Becky. Always she amuses me. She's done it once again. Bless her wicked little heart.
What a relief Mrs. Bute's mischief has done no harm. Still, Miss C has the whole of the day to think. And thinking, I fear, is not in this case a healthy pastime. Monday? Not sure I look forward to it. One hopes you do. I am, oh yes, your devoted servant, William Makepeace Thackeray.
To you by Ban Roll-On, America's leading roll-on antiperspirant. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse. It's not nice to eavesdrop, but it's fun. So let's check in on the comedy of errors at the Baxters. On the little things in life. Brought to you by Ban Roll-On, America's leading roll-on antiperspirant.
Say, maybe you know, what's the difference between Miss Clairol shampoo formula and Miss Clairol cream formula? I mean, they're both labeled natural wear.
They both give you great-looking hair color.
So what's the difference?
Well, the shampoo formula is quick and easy, and a great way to cover that first gray. What's more, it conditions as it colors.
What about the cream formula?
The cream formula is extra rich color, and it conditions, too. It's the hair color hairdressers use to cover lots of gray, to make a more dramatic color change and still have that soft, natural look.
Oh, what do you think I need?
Try Miss Clairol shampoo formula. You don't have much gray, and you'll get a fresh, young color.
What do you use?
I use Miss Clairol cream formula. I've been using it for about 5 years.
Why? You don't have any gray.
Does she or doesn't she?
Oh.
See, you didn't even know.
Well, you sold me. And I suppose that natural wear means the color wears naturally.
Right. Miss Clairol shampoo formula or cream formula to know you're the best you can be.
I cannot find the car keys.
Oh, Robert Bax, have you lost the car keys again? What am I going to do with you?
I can't find them anyplace.
Where have you looked?
Everywhere.
Well, look on the floor of the hall closet.
Why would they be there?
Well, I'm just making suggestions. You know, you come in the house and now you just usually give the car keys a fling. You had a place for everything and everything in it.
Oh, come on, please. Isn't it enough to have Aunt Maggie spouting platitudes all the time without you taking it up?
Just the same truth. You're not a tidy person. Even your mother said so. Look in the overshoes and boots on the closet floor. Remember one time we found the car keys in a boot?
No, I don't. How in the world did it get there?
I don't know. Car keys certainly not in the desk drawers either, as far as I can determine. Look at these desk drawers. I just cleaned them all out a month ago, and look at them, honey. You just dump stuff in any old way, really.
Good morning, Mom. What's Daddy doing on the closet floor?
I'll give you one guess.
Give me one clue.
He's had breakfast and he's ready to go to work.
You can't find the car keys?
Right.
Oh, you two are cute. Just as cute as little Nickel.
I think that expression ought to be brought up to date. Nickel isn't so cute anymore.
Well, when do you think it originated?
Oh, honey, I don't know. Good heavens, probably back in the days when they had a buffalo on the nickel. Buffalo nickels, you know?
I never saw a buffalo nickel.
I can't remember whether I have or not. I've seen a buffalo.
But I don't think I'd describe a buffalo as being cute, would you?
Oh, sure. Why not?
Oh, Mother, you think all animals are cute.
Look, I have to go to work. Can you help me find the car keys instead of discussing whether or not buffaloes are cute?
Girl, I'm looking, dear. Debbie, go have your breakfast.
Well, can I get a ride with you today, Daddy?
No, I don't have time to wait while you finish breakfast.
Well, you can't go anywhere without the car keys.
Debbie, go eat, go eat. Just don't gulp your food.
Mm-hmm.
Daddy isn't late yet. He has plenty of time for a change.
I don't understand how that bedroom clock gains so much. It's always been right on the nose to gain half an hour.
I know. It's very strange.
Did you push it ahead?
The car. Did you leave the car keys in the ignition?
No, I went out and looked. Did you push that bedroom clock ahead so I'd get up earlier?
Well, good morning, good morning, good morning.
Oh, good morning, Aunt Maggie.
What are you looking for, Bob?
Well, Debbie guessed. Do you want to give it a try, Aunt Maggie? He's had breakfast. He's on his way to work.
Either the car keys or he's lost one of his gloves.
The car keys. Well, maybe he's lost one of his good gloves, too. Have you, dear? Look in your pockets.
You always make me feel like the absent-minded professor.
Oh, we're just teasing you.
Yeah, I know. Truth is, I'm worse than the absent-minded professor. Another truth is that I do have only one glove.
Oh, you do?
I'll look for your glove. Must be on the closet shelf. You always give your gloves a toss when you open the closet door.
My glove may be in the car, Aunt Maggie, on the seat. It's
well,
my car key.
What did you do with them, Peg, when you drove home from Barbara Jordan's last night?
Uh-huh.
Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot I went over there.
You borrowed my car because yours needs gas.
I know. Just a minute. I suppose the keys are in my coat pocket. I'll get them. Just a minute.
Don't we feel just a wee bit silly now, huh?
Yes, we do. In fact, even more than a wee bit, because the car keys are not in my coat pocket. Now, where could I put them?
I have said it before, but I am going to say it again. You two misplaced more things if you had a place for everything.
Oh, and who, my dear Aunt Maggie, is always misplacing her glasses?
Well, that's true, I
yes,
guess.
Yes, I guess that is. Well, I must put the car keys in my handbag here. Let me take a look now.
Will you look at that mess? How can you find anything in that suitcase? That's not a handbag. It's ridiculous to carry around something that big, jammed full of Lord knows what.
Why do you worry about it? I like a big handbag. That's
well, that's not just big. It's enormous. You think you just toss my car keys into that mess of stuff?
Oh, no, keep your shirt on, Bob. Peg eventually finds what you want in there.
I bet you got 100 different things in that bag.
Oh, 100. Don't be silly.
Yeah, 100. That's what I'll bet.
Well, who's betting, for goodness sake?
I am. In fact, why don't we all bet? Just dump everything out on the dining room table.
Oh, I'm not going to dump everything out.
Must say, dear, it does look as though it's time you cleaned out your handbag.
Well, every time I clean it out, I forget to put things back I invariably want the next day. Like a safety pin or scissors or...
You don't carry a scissors around with you.
Yes, I do. A little pair of folding ones. In here somewhere. Oh, this is sort of a mess, isn't it? I know the car keys are here. I remember dropping them in when I got out of the car.
Debbie, come on in here. I want you to have a chance to win $5. Debbie, come on in.
$5? For what?
Yes, we're all going to make a guess about how many items Peg has in that bag.
Oh,
all right,
really?
Now, Deb, you make a guess. There's $5 at stake.
Oh, come on, that's absurd.
Here's a $5 bill. It goes to the person who comes closest. I'm going to say 100 individual items.
Oh, that's far too many, I think. I'll say 48.
Do bobby pins count as bobby pins or the number of bobby pins?
The number. Four bobby pins would be four items. Now, Aunt Maggie, get a paper and pencil, and we'll list them. Now, everybody make a guess. Then, Peg, you dump everything on the table.
I thought you had to get to work.
Here's the $5. I say 100. Aunt Maggie, 48. Debbie?
62. Okay, Mom, dump your handbag out on the table.
In my house, we've got a fully automatic kitchen. Me. And the worst job I've got to do is scrape and scrub that dirty oven.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Promises, promises.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night, and while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
That's a good idea.
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
You know, I've got a feeling that Mr. Muscle's going to be a good man to wake up to.
Do you think all antiperspirants are basically the same? Well, Ban Roll-On antiperspirant may just change your mind. Take effectiveness, for instance. Tests have shown that Ban Roll-On antiperspirant will actually help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Make your own test soon. Pick up a bottle of Ban Roll-On, and you may discover what we've shown in tests. Ban Roll-On antiperspirant, proof that not all antiperspirants are created equal.
Okay, Aunt Maggie, what do you got so far? How many items?
I haven't counted yet. I'm just writing them down. So far, wallet, credit card case, nail file, emery board.
Three emery boards. Why do you have three in your handbag?
Oh, I don't know. I keep putting one in case I don't have any.
Pair of scissors, six pencils, a metal tape measure, 14 bobby pins, seven safety pins. An address book, a notebook, a checkbook.
What's this?
A portable drinking cup.
Why would you carry a portable drinking cup around with you?
I always do, honey, in case I get thirsty when I'm out. I don't always like to drink out of public fountains.
And then you stand there and take out your own drinking cup.
Yes, I do.
Oh, boy.
Compact, lipstick, eyebrow pencil, three earrings, eight packs of matches.
Why do you carry matches when you don't smoke?
For my friends who do smoke and who are always saying, I don't have any matches. Do you have any? And then I can say yes.
Five curlers and six curler pins.
Why do you carry curlers in your bag? You never go out with your hair up.
Well, sometimes I do on my way to town. Then I take them off when I get there, fine, in a hurry. My hair wasn't quite dry. You know, I wear a scarf.
Debbie, what have you got there in that mess of papers?
Well, 14 receipts from various stores, six letters.
Oh, there's Phyllis Grenz's letter. I wondered where it was. Let me have it, honey.
Leave everything alone so it can be counted.
All right.
What else, Deb?
Four bills.
Oh, there's the bill from the pump people. Oh, dear, I called them and said we never got it. I was so positive when I
A wire hanger.
Oh, yeah.
What are you doing with a doubled-up wire coat hanger in your handbag?
Well, I always carry that since I locked myself out of the car one day when I was at the supermarket.
Yeah?
So embarrassed, the boys there had to break into my car. You know, by trying to get the little front window open. And one of them said to me, do you by any chance have a wire coat hanger?
Oh, for Pete's sake.
So the second time it happened, when the boy said, if we just had a wire coat hanger, I said, well, I've got one.
Honey, you really take the cake.
Well, I've got the list up to 76 items so far.
76?
Well,
really?
If 14 bobby pins, for example, count as 14 items.
Well, there's a few more things you don't have on the list, Aunt Meg. Now, there's rain bonnet, her sunglasses, and the case, a package of peppermints. A candy bar wrapper.
Oh, sneaking candy bars, huh? I thought you were trying to diet.
You know, I somehow have a feeling this is all an invasion of privacy. I would like to object.
Objection overruled, since the primary object was to find my car keys. What's that pile of stuff, Debbie?
Tissues, most of them pretty mashed up. 12 of them. And this old cook. No, it's underwear. It's Daddy's.
Why are you carrying around a pair of my shorts? They are mine, aren't they?
Yes, dear. They're old, and they're nice and soft. I just grabbed them from the old rag bag to wipe the inside of the windshield, and then put them in my pen.
And here are, let me see, 28 green stamps.
Four paper clips and three pens.
Wait a minute. Now, let me add those on. 28, 4, 3.
What's this? Honey, what is this?
Push the button.
What is it? How does it turn off? Turn it off.
Just a second. In case somebody attacks me, it's called a mugger alarm.
How in the blazes would you ever find it at the bottom of that bag in time to even push the alarm?
I know. I've often thought of that.
Well, so far, Peg has 122 items in her handbag.
Aha, uh-huh, which means I win and I get to keep my
$5. Oh, Daddy, you do. Well, what have you proved, however?
I proved you don't have my car keys.
That's about
so
it.
So, where are they?
You've also proved, Daddy, that if we don't step on it, I'm going to be late to school and you're going to be late to work.
We can't go anywhere without the car keys.
Oh, well, I've got them.
You got them?
Yes. What do you mean?
Don't you remember I said I wanted to practice starting the car? And Peggy handed them to me when you came home.
Yes.
Oh, they're in my coat pocket.
Yes. I'll finish my breakfast and get my school books, Daddy.
Oh, I know.
What does Aunt Maggie mean she was practicing starting the car?
Well, I've been meaning to tell you, dear. She wants you to teach her how to drive.
You got to be kidding.
Well, don't worry about it now. You get to work. Can I have this $5?
You, I just won it.
You just lost it. I need gas in my car.
Okay, honey. Boy, teaching Aunt Maggie to drive, yeah, that's going to be a red-letter day. Well, come on, Debbie, let's go.
The Little Things in Life, created by Peg Lynch, has been brought to you by Dan Roll-On, America's leading roll-on antiperspirant. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
To have and to hold. To have and to hold. The story of the traditional vows, the new morality, and the people caught in the conflict between them. Brought to you by Daytrill, the new non-aspirin pain reliever from Bristol-Myers.
I'm a homemaker, and I work part-time, too, so I get my share of headaches. But I don't take aspirin. It can irritate my stomach. So I've used Tylenol. It's easier on my stomach. Then I learned about Daytrill. I compared labels and couldn't find any difference. Daytrill has the same pain reliever, no aspirin. Daytrill's just as effective as Tylenol. So now I compare prices and buy the one that costs less. Why spend more?
Daytrill, from Bristol-Myers. Ask your doctor about it.
Hi, I'm the teacher, and that's Roland Gibbs on drums. He drew my picture last week with gray hair. Me, with 11 grays. I gave hair coloring a second thought. I found out about Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It has no peroxide, doesn't change my natural color, and it's good for my hair. Loving Care covered my grays and made my hair softer and shinier. Gotta give the kid credit.
Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It's good for your hair.
Emily, I think I have time for one more cup of coffee before I leave for the hospital.
Oh, good. I wonder what people did before coffee, Angela.
Did?
How did they stop, put down the work, and talk to each other?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe it was cider or buttermilk.
Oh, do you remember the cider Uncle Herman used to get every fall?
Oh, it was so good.
Yes, and he never managed to find a place to hide it long enough for it to magically change into Applejack.
Oh, and Gertrude always sniffed it out every time.
Oh, I was thinking about the farm the other day. You know, we were lucky.
How do you mean?
Well, we saw the country when we were young. What it was like. The apple trees blooming in the spring. The whole cycle of life. I remember I wanted to make great bouquets and arrangements of the apple blossoms. You know, fill vases and buckets and jars. And Uncle Herman would only let me have one small branch.
Yes, I remember something like that. It was our first spring on the farm.
He said, for every blossom you take now, there won't be an apple in the fall.
Mm.
And I didn't understand it then. That the careless breaking of a branch could stop something from finishing out.
Oh, Emily.
Now, come on, you'll get me going.
I know, I'm sorry. It just seems that...
I know. It's almost as though a lot of things, unnoticed and unsaid, suddenly demand to be said and noticed.
Em, you don't mind being alone, I mean, during the day?
No, dear, I've got so much to do. And that reminds me.
Hmm?
Could you return some books to the hospital library for me?
Oh, sure, your psychology books. Do you need any others?
No, I'm going to give it up.
Oh, Emily.
I want to spend my time with Jason and the children, Angela. Time is important now.
Marsh, have you been in touch with Szabo at all?
No, not since Emily saw him.
Oh. You have any ideas on what can be done for Emily?
According to Szabo, we wait and watch. We see what the rate of growth is.
Well, is there any history of remission or disappearance? You know, complete cure?
Well, Jason, Szabo says he's heard of it, but he's never seen it in his practice. Look, don't hold that out to Emily, okay?
It's hope, Marsh. That's what life is.
And doctors are never supposed to give up hope.
Or their patients.
How is Emily? I saw her yesterday. Her spirits seem fine.
Yes, they are. Even in dealing with Jennifer's loss of her kitten.
Oh. Yeah, that had to be hard.
Oh, yes, it was. Jennifer asked questions that had a terrible, painful immediacy, like where do you go when you die? And she's never had that kind of an experience before.
I don't advise telling your children.
Oh, no, we're not. At least not for now.
Because right now there's no way of knowing how long it will be.
Marsh, I told my father.
Oh? Mm. Oh, yes, he was very concerned about Emily.
Well, he's always thought of her as someone very special. You know, he thinks my marriage to her was the smartest thing I ever did.
And I agree. Oh, I don't know. We never know what these early decisions will come to mean.
You know, Marsh, at lunch with Dad, I realized I just couldn't go on saying she's fine, fine, everything's all right, so I told him.
Must have been a shock.
Well, what do you think?
Oh, Jason, I'm sorry. God, we have these pat phrases and responses, and we just come out with
it. It's all right. It's all right, Marsh. We all do that. You know, I asked Dad about Mother for the first time since, I don't know him.
Oh, yes, that's right. Your mother was young, wasn't she?
Mm-hmm.
I think I'd only been at Jefferson a year or two.
Yes, she was. Anyway, I asked Dad if Mother knew what was wrong with her. What he had told her.
Did she know?
Dad said he never wanted her to know. But right up to the end, she believed she was going to get well.
Must have been hard on him.
Oh, yes. Just think of all the things they could never say to each other.
Angela.
Oh.
Chris said you were down here.
That one knows everything that goes on at Jefferson. Marsh, you know that.
Yes, I do. Would you like some company?
Very much. And you can freshen up my coffee, too.
Okay.
Thanks.
You scheduled yourself for night duty?
Yeah. I still have trouble sleeping. I think I'm afraid to go to sleep.
Why?
Oh, I remember this happening before. It was after our parents were killed and Emily and I were alone.
Oh.
I think I was afraid of dying in my sleep.
How old were you then?
16.
And it was just you and Emily?
Yeah, I don't think I've ever been so alone before. It was so sudden.
Uh-huh. It was a car accident.
Yes. It was a terrible shock. At least we... Well...
What?
I was thinking of Bobby and Susie and Jennifer. If they learn that Emily's seriously ill, that they'll know it for such a long time.
Angela, please don't think about things you can do nothing about. These things are not in your hands.
I know that, but I can't help it.
Look, can you get someone to take over for you?
Me now?
Yes. I'd like to take you out to dinner. Some nice, quiet place.
Oh, thanks, Marsh. I don't think I can. We are short-handed. The flu's hit a lot of the staff.
Yeah, that's true.
I do appreciate the offer, though. I don't know what I would do without you.
Here, put your feet up, Em.
Oh, you're babying me, Jason.
Yes, I know, but will you let me get away with it just for tonight? How about a drink, darling?
Well, fine, dear.
Okay.
Jason?
Mm-hmm?
You know, this morning, somehow, Angela and I got talking about when we were kids.
Oh? Did something come up?
Nothing specific. It's just that I think she's worrying so much about me.
Well, does that surprise you?
Not really. You know what a pillar of strength she's always been.
Oh, yes.
But now, suddenly, she seems almost fragile.
Well, Ann, people usually aren't as strong as they seem.
I just hate to think that her worrying about me is hurting her.
Well, I think shock is wearing off for her.
I hope so. Darling,
mm-hmm.
I want everything to be as normal as possible, particularly for Jennifer.
Well, she's all right, isn't she?
Yes, I think losing Charlie was rough on her, but she seems to have come around.
Ann, do you think we should get her another kitten?
Yes. Yes, I think so.
Oh. Is Mrs. Bailey's cat still producing?
I'll find out.
You know, Bobby's leaving tomorrow.
Well, you didn't think I'd forgotten.
No. But I was wondering if you had any regrets.
He has to go, Jason. He has to find his own way.
Yes, I know. I just hope he settles down at Harvard.
Well, now, don't be too disappointed if he doesn't.
Hey, they're all good kids, aren't they?
Mm-hmm. Especially our love child.
Yeah. Jennifer was a surprise, wasn't she?
Oh, yes. We were such a neat, symmetrical family. One boy, one girl. Mm. Thought that was it.
And then, along came Jen.
She's the one I worry about the most.
And she's fine.
Oh, no, I mean, when... If I go...
Oh, honey.
She's still so young.
Come on now, Em. Don't talk like that.
Jason, most people don't know when. I don't even know for sure. But I do have a chance most people don't have.
What do you mean, darling?
I know it's not so very far off. And I know there are things I must do. I'm going to waste my time.
To Hold has been brought to you by Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. This program has come to you from the Radio Playhouse, a DCA Productions program.